First I was a Catholic girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning.
Hello and welcome to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're recording this on Sunday morning, April 30th, 2023. I'm Larry Rhodes, or DJ Doubter 5. And as usual, you have our co-host, Wombat, on the line with us. Hello, Wombat.
Hey, it's me, the Wombat.
And with us, we also have Dread Pirate Higgs from Western Canada. Welcome.
Arr!
And Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, Rastafarianism, and the sciences.
Nice.
Conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling you're the only non-believer in your town, well, you're just not. Here in Knoxville, in the middle of the Bible Belt, we have a group of over 1,000 of us. They're everywhere. We're everywhere. We're everywhere.
I know. What's happened in Knoxville? What's happened? This used to be a good city.
Yeah. We're the Atheist Society of Knoxville, or ASK. We'll tell you more about that after the mid-show break, so be sure to stick around. Wombat, what's our topic today?
We're going to be, it's a beautiful day. We're going to be going over some jokes. How about that? Some nice levity from both atheist and Rastafarian circles. But before we go into that, let's throw it up to our own Dread Pirate Higgs for our weekly invocation.
All right. God be me, captain, I shall not want. He maketh me to float in salt waters. He steereth me through glassy seas. He fitteth me bowl. He steereth me through the straits of newliness, for goodness sake. Aye, though I sail through the heaving of tempestuous waters, I will fear not sinking, for thou art with me. Thy mast and thy rudder, they comfort me. Thou preparest a feast before me in the presence of me mates. Thou quenchest my thirst with grog. My goblet runneth over. Truly, pasta and grog shall abide with me all the days of me life, and I shall dwell in the galley of the quab forever.
Ramen. I did learn how to make pizza from scratch a weekend ago, and I made it again this week. This time with all the mistakes I've learned, avoiding them, properly seasoning the batter, properly broiling to the top of the pizza to like get crispy pepperoni and stuff like that, and minimizing ingredients just so that I have the stuff that I like to eat. But I can tell you this right now. Carbs are awesome. When you do get a chance to like go through your cheat day, they are really, really great. So when they figure out how to make a noodle-based pizza dough where you can like weave together the different strands together, then I'll be totally all about it. I hope everyone's had a great day.
Well, invent it. You can do it.
You're right. Larry, I like your faith in me. I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. Dredd, how you been? Want to check in with you?
Doing good. So I've been working on I've actually completed a series of short videos, sermons, as they...
I saw them on YouTube.
Okay, yeah, perfect.
Yeah, so I get notified every single time you log into my Zoom account.
Oh, yeah, there you go. So I've composed 8 videos on the 8 I'd Rather You Didn't.
Okay.
And then yesterday, or the day before, I also did one on... the difference between an ad hominem attack and challenging beliefs. So
nice.
Because the first of the 8 I'd Rather You Didn't is about respecting the right of a person to believe. But I wanted to point out that it's not necessary to respect the belief itself.
Right.
Beliefs and the people who hold them. Those are two separate things.
Right. Some beliefs Absolutely. Are just Watch downright them. Silly.
Yeah.
I wanted
to make the distinction that it's okay to go after a person's beliefs as long as you're not going after the person. So
exactly. It also goes into the same way of like separating beliefs and ideas from good beliefs too. A lot of people will say, here's a guy who came up with 3 cool beliefs. I love this guy. It's like, no, I think what you really like are these 3 beliefs that this guy at that time period touted, you know, or expressed, or, you know, advertised, or, you know, put some propaganda for it. But that person could be terrible, you know, just behind the scenes. And because he controls how history is written about himself or whatever, can make themselves seem like a really nice person. But the ideas are still good. So we can still say, hey, I'm really glad this person said these things here, but it's still these ideas, these principles that we care about, and not so much the personhood behind them. We should really be focusing on like the arguments that are expressed and fine tuning them. And yeah, there's going to be people that'll be expressing them, but that'll change it with each generation and passing the time.
You know, and conversely, I think people need to soften up on their belief that when their ideas are being attacked, that they're being attacked.
Yeah. You
know what I mean, like, it works both ways.
Yep.
Like, it grows thicker skin, people. You know, sometimes if you got some idea that other people, you know, are in a disagreement about, don't take it personally. It's just an idea.
Right. There's also exactly. And yeah, there are a lot of people that get oversensitive. And I think there's a, and hear me, Dredd, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. I think that there's a trend of oversensitivity a lot that goes along with lack of critical thinking. So that the more critical thinking drops, the more sensitive people become. Yep. And if you just had people have an opportunity to exercise good critical thinking tools, their ability to take criticism or even just deal with ideas that are different than what they're comfortable with, or understand that different people think different things, and that's not necessarily a personal attack on their personal environment, might be greatly improved. Because there's a lot of things people can tell me and I'll be like, actually, that's a pretty good idea. Even though I don't maybe necessarily agree with all the tenets, I am appreciative that this idea exists to continue to fine tune maybe some ideas or biases that I might have in the future.
Yeah. It's like there's an inverse correlation
between
sensitivity and critical thinking skills. When one goes up, the other goes down.
All right. And now I'm throwing another thing on this, if you're cool with that. I think that there's more kids now than there were in the past. I think every generation, there's always more people, but definitely more younger people. And we are still failing as a society to ingrain good critical thinking skills in people. We're getting better at it, but there's more and more people, which means we're getting further and further behind. And more of those people are young people, and those are going to be old people that continue to make more young people. And I feel like that's why we have a trend of potentially oversensitivity, both in our accessibility of information, our capability of interacting with different people all around the world at once from a phone or a tablet or a screen monitor, et cetera. And I think until we get critical thinking to be like a thing that's fun for everybody to do, something that we're engaged in, something that's taught, standardized, we're going to have this continuous discomfort of labels and tribalism and misinformation and counterfeit truths dictating how people think about each other.
You know, and I think to a large degree, social media enables that sensitivity, because it becomes an echo chamber for people venting their innermost feelings and how the world hurts them and all the rest of it. It doesn't make for thick skins, that's for sure.
It doesn't make for thick skin. So
unless you're on the receiving end of a cancer pileup.
Yeah, I would say this too. It's also the best tool to get us to where we need to be as well, in terms of uniformly expressing how critical thinking works, demonstrating how ethical and effective it is, and like just putting it on the pedestal that it needs to be. So it is a double-edged sword, and we are wearing out one side of that.
Yeah, I think that we really need to address the logical fallacies more often.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Maybe make them a daily, what do you call those religious reminders?
Daily affirmations
of logical fallacies. So people know what they are.
Yeah, there's like 200 of them. So you've got almost one for every day of the year.
Oh, wow. There's 200. I thought there was only like
200, okay, well, 200 cognitive biases and fallacies. So
give me enough time and we'll get to 365.
Indeed. I'd also keep coming up with new ones. So
I've when I was with the internet, and Larry, I'm sorry, I never grew up with YouTube. I never grew up with someone who could dox me down to the point where they knew what I looked like in elementary school and all that stuff. Yeah. But kids grow up with that today, right? Like a very well-tracked trace. Like if you want to find out what I look like back when I was a kid, I have to find like a Polaroid or something like that. And that'd be at best third grade, right? But in a box, I'd have to find that in a box. But the idea is when I was on the internet, I had to, it's a very different thing than being on the internet today. Because when I was on the internet and I was rude, it was sort of just like experimenting, like, what can I get away with? Oh, okay. Everyone also is trying to get away with this at the same time too. There was like a pretty good understanding of the social culture and just the Wild West aspect of this is a new thing. Everybody's out here. Everybody's being essentially jerks in their own right. And then this brilliant thing came up where it's like people started using their real names. And then there was like these things like Facebook accounts and MySpace accounts. It's like you can click a name and actually track a person and find out that this person who called you an idiot has kids and they're like 40 and you thought they were like 14. You're like, whoa, this is weird. This is an actual person and he lives in this state. And now I don't like that state anymore. And now everything has a personhood. Now there's influencers and you can see they're inside their homes. And it just became so much more personal. I always wondered if the internet was better when it was much more impersonal. And the worst insult could ever be was just a line of text given to you like by a generated screen name. And I feel like now it's people who, and that feels different. Dread, do you feel like, do you understand where I'm coming from on this? Like even on the screen names behind you on that ship, they don't seem like they're actual people, but they might be. Do you understand where I'm going with that?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
All right. The main idea I kind of missed it when it was impersonal. Now that it's so personal, I think that's probably why it's so hard to turn off your sensitivity stuff to it.
Yeah, anyway. and that's why I tend to just be Higgs, you know, because if my persona on Facebook is limited to my pastafarianism, then it's pretty hard people to dogpile me for it, you know, like right. I'm not saying anything, you know, I'm just not exposing myself to that kind of level of
backlash.
I'm just not out there that much. I'm out there for a reason, but not just generally.
Larry, did you ever have to deal with any online backlash, and what have you been up to this week?
Well, I'm pretty active on the internet. More or less a public figure, since I don't shy away from like atheist sites or Christian sites or religious sites, debate sites for that matter.
Yeah.
Usually people just insult me, and you know, if they can't face the argument, they insult me personally. It's ad hominem attacks.
Right.
So I get a lot of those. They just roll off my back because I made my point. They showed they couldn't make a point at all. Right. And I just let it go. I'd rather not get into dirt throwing contest.
Do you ever get a lot of undesirable invitations to argue or debate on topics that like you're kind of like tired of talking about? Because that's where I'm at right now. So I am also
what public. Topic is that an example?
Yeah. Does God exist or does he not exist? That, or just does God exist? I will get in my emails at least once every 2 weeks an invitation by somebody who saw me do a lecture on atheism. And we'll still add, and in that lecture, I'll say like, and I'm getting really tired of people constantly, you know, framing the discussion on whether or not God exists or not, because that's not the idea of atheism. Atheism is basically a belief, a statement of lack of belief in a God, not a declaration that there is a God or not. So all these debates that atheists get pulled into where they have to defend a position where God doesn't exist is sort of counterintuitive and actually just muddies the water what the definition of atheism is. And then I do the rest of my talk. And then next thing you know, I get like an email and be like, my name's Pastor blah, blah, blah. Would you like to have a debate with me on whether or not God exists? I'm like, did you even see the thing that I talked about? Like, did you watch the video that you linked me to? Like,
no, I don't like doing online debates too much because basically I get really tired of hearing the old stuff from the old religion that I used to be a part of. I know it by heart. They think that they're giving me new information. They think that atheists have never don't know about religion. They need to tell us about it so that we'll then join the religion. But no, we've been there, done that. I actually sat out at a park yesterday for about 45 minutes. I didn't have much time. I got one guy came by to argue with me. And his first thing was, he says, I have a question. And then he says, do you know everything? Now, I recognize that as the beginning of a script. Yeah. So you got to get them off script.
Sure.
So I said, no, I don't. And he said, you know half of everything there is to know. Right. I said, no, but atheism is not about knowledge. It's not about what you know. It's about what you believe. Right. I said, I don't know that there's not a God or is a God, right. But I don't believe in any.
Right.
He said, okay, good talk, and went on.
Yeah. It's always, and you know, it's always at the first stump that they're just like, walk away. I've had conversations with Christians in a similar format where they don't want to sit down, but they do want to talk at you. And once you get off script, they want to run. And I've had a guy like set down his glasses on the table and like try to lecture me. And then like, as soon as I did something like that, it's just like, atheism's not a declaration of knowledge. It's just a lack of belief. Don't you agree that it's the best time to believe something is when you have a good reason to believe it? And he's like, I'll talk to you later. And he walked away. Yeah. I'm like, dude, you left your glasses on my table. I'll see you later. I was like, don't leave me with these. I don't want to steal them.
The thing about those scripts is they have so many built-in presumptions.
Yeah.
Like it presumes that their God is the correct God. It presumes that we all have souls and that they go somewhere after you die. All of these presumptions that they just count on you having because you were raised in a religious society. Mm-hmm. And that's where they get college students.
Like believing that a soul exists. Uh-huh. Like, of course a soul exists. What are you talking about? You know, like, no, seriously, you're not even there yet.
But even more fundamentally, it assumes that it knows that a person knows what an atheist is. And I find like when you just express what atheism is in any other context other than religion, people would understand that and fight for it, even if they're Christian. They would say, like, isn't it the best time to believe something when you have a good reason to believe it? And then when you don't have a good reason to believe something, you don't believe it. But you don't believe it by default. You start off at a state of non-belief until you have a good reason to believe. Wouldn't you agree that? 10,000%, everything makes sense. Doesn't that apply to God too? No, well, that's not atheism. It's like, I'm telling you that as an atheist. Well, I know an atheist. That doesn't count. I'm like, I'm literally telling you what that is. If you agree with that, then you're also with atheism too. Hey, what's up, Fred?
Well, I was going to say that I've had a couple of conversations where I've just pointed out, you know, to say, do you believe in Thor? And no, of course not.
Right.
You're an atheist to Thor. That's what atheism is about. You just don't have evidence to support a belief in a particular God. It could be the Christian God. It could, you know, I was a Pastafarian. I'm an atheist to the Christian God and other gods. But I'm not atheistic to my own God.
Larry, what do you think?
And it has to be the default. Non-belief has to be the default, because if belief is the default, where do you stop? Right. I mean, you have to believe in all the gods, every god of every religion and every hell and every heaven. And, you know, it's all contradictory stuff.
Right. But like at the fundamental level, I mean, we could always attack, hey, listen, you're a Christian only because your parents are Christian. 9 out of 10 times you have the same religion as your parents. Right. And you have a kid right now that you're probably going to teach your religion to, too. Right. Like that's a reason why your kid's not a Muslim, because you're a Christian. And you're probably going to raise her or him as a Christian. Right. That, I was in the exact same situation. That just tends to be the case. That's why Muslims have Muslims and they end up being locked in a jail location, and Christians have more Christians and they tend to be locked in a geolocation too. You could explain it that way, but even that is not something that is palatable. That's more something that someone who already recognizes that the fundamental aspect of atheism, which is I just cared if my beliefs were true, right? Like the fundamental aspect of atheism is I care if my beliefs are true. And if I care if they're true, I won't believe, or I will hold a sense of non-belief until I have a good reason to believe. That's it. It's not, you know, what your pastor told you or geolocation or how evolution works. It's just, do you care if your beliefs are true? If you do, then you have to understand that the claim of a God existing is so great that there's no amount of evidence that we have to support something like that. and everything else just goes downhill from there. What do you think, Larry?
Yeah. Well, not only do you care if they're true or not, but you will literally take them out and look at them and examine them and give them a probability of being true or not. Like, think of the Garden of Eden, you know, to take snakes talk, you know, where is this garden? I guess, you know, they've come up with a location, but it's been so long since it was there. They just say it was a long time ago.
Yep.
But I mean, the belief in a soul, the belief in a heaven, the belief in that all the other religions are false and yours is correct. Think about it. Just bring your beliefs out and give them right. some consideration logically.
And just to clarify, I examine my beliefs because I care that they're true. And it doesn't even require me to dig into the weeds of what stories or folklore come with a particular religious story. Right. I don't have to think about a reptile giving dietary advice to nudists in paradise. I could just say, hey, I care if my beliefs are true. When there's enough evidence to believe that, I will. Until then, I don't. Yeah.
And give a lot of thought of why you believe. You know, you're talking about locale and your parents and their heredity and all this stuff. Yep. Think about it. You know, why aren't you Muslim? Why aren't you Hindu?
Yeah. And is it the same reason or is it, well, there's exceptions. Oh, the exceptions also get me too. Dredd, before we get into some jokes, I did want to give some credence. What do you call it? There's like the Italian version, the mafia version of I'm a sorry that I'm trying to get to. It's okay. The idea is I want to apologize for going so much on that atheist rant because I do know you do believe
it's all cool. Yeah, like I said, I'm an atheist to all gods but my own. So
there you go.
I get it.
And the big wraparound, big hug at the end of this is if we realize that there's thousands and thousands of God claims and everyone's atheist to all of them except for just one, for the most part, and all atheists are just one extra God claim that we don't believe in, typically, then you realize that the grand majority of people agree with each other. So what's with all of this hostility? Is it a power dynamic that people use to try to pit people against each other so that they can get more resources for themselves? Or maybe, in fact, we actually do agree on most things and can get along with each other. Maybe it's both. How about that? Here's the jokes that I want to throw out. So you guys might have realized that there's a guy named Jeff Foxworthy. He's an American comedian, does a bunch of jokes called You Might Be a Redneck If. I put it into ChatGPT and said, hey, can you output 10 you might be an atheist if jokes? And then also, you know you're a Possifarian if jokes. And I want to do a comparison between the two.
Yeah, sure. That's great.
That sounds good. Well, then we'll head it up.
Shall we go off one another? Is that the idea?
Oh, you want to go off? All right.
You're an atheist one and I do a Pastafarian one?
All right. How about that? We'll do this as a sneak peek into what we'll do in the next half of the show. Dredd, go on ahead and play your best card. Play your best one.
Well, I really like this one here. Okay. You know you're a Pastafarian. If you have a I'd rather be noodling bumper sticker on your car.
That's really, really good.
I get that bumper sticker. That's pretty cool.
I'm actually going to look that up after the show. That was a really, really nice one. I'd rather be noodling. It's one of those. So you would have to either put the symbol of the flying spaghetti monster on the bumper sticker, because otherwise people would just be like, wow, that guy just likes making noodles. Like, that's interesting.
Or canoodling. What does he mean by noodling? I'd rather be canoodling.
I got one. This one is, you know you're an atheist if you find yourself wondering why In God We Trust is still on U.S. currency. And I like that because I feel like only atheists really ever, with frustration in their face, stare at U.S. currency or license plates and think, what in the world are we
still? It just applies to every religious person, whether no matter what religion they're in, they have a God. So it's my God that's on the currency, not your God, my God, even if it's, you know, Hindu, Muslim, Mormon, whatever.
Yeah. Right. I know we've made efforts to try to take that off and go back to E Pluribus Unum or different motto that we could use, but what if we just instead embraced In God We Trust and just added an S to the gods.
Hindus are like that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if I mentioned this, but I was listening to Bart Ehrman, right? He's the biblical scholar. Hmm. And he had pointed out that, you know, it's commonly understood that Constantinople, the emperor, had made Christianity the Roman state religion back in 300 CE. And that's not true.
Oh,
it's actually what he did was said, let's stop the persecution of the Christians and allow their God to join the pantheon that existed at the time. So it just was.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So it's not an endorsement of Christianity. It's just we can tolerate them and throw them into what we got already. So we started as humans.
Yep. So, you know, so if you think about that as being the foundation of, you know, Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms and the United States Constitution, we're just mirroring what they did back 2,000 years ago.
Exactly.
And we should be a little more tolerant because, of course, Pastafarians are being treated like Christians.
Right.
Back pre-Constantinople. So.
Right.
Although I don't really have to fear being thrown to the lions, I'm being thrown to the wolves.
All right. All right. Larry's telling us we got to get ready for a break. We got more discussions and more jokes after the show. What do you think, Larry?
Sure. All right. This is the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio, 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. And we'll be right back after this short break.
Yucca tree. He chases round the desert, 'cause he thinks that's where I'll be. And that's why I love mankind. I recoil in horror from the foulness of thee, all from the squalor and the filth and the misery. How we laugh up here in heaven at the prayers you offer me. And that's why I love mankind. The Christian and the Jews were having a jamboree.
Welcome back to the second half of the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. I'm Doubter 5, and we're on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Let's just take a moment to talk about the Atheist Society of Knoxville. ASK was founded in 2002. We're in our 21st year now, have over 1,000 members. We have weekly in-person meetings every Tuesday evening in Knoxville's Old City at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria. Look for us inside at the high top tables, or if it's pretty weather, outside on the deck. If you'd like to join us, you can find us on Facebook, meetup.com, or KnoxvilleAtheist.org, which is our website. Or just Google Knoxville Atheist. It's just that simple. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville, you should still go to Meetup and do a search for an atheist group in your town. Don't find one, start one. Right, Wombat, where do you want to pick up?
I wanted to just throw out, Dredd, thank you for the history lesson on Constantinople and Byzantine Empire and just the idea that Christianity started as a, hey, you guys can join us, everything's cool. And then slowly over time, it became Christianity is the only one and everything else needs to be kicked out. Teaches you a lot about how, you know, a poison apple can ruin a whole barrel, right? But I was being a little tongue-in-cheek with the idea of gods we trust, because the idea could be, obviously, we don't all celebrate the same God. And I thought that if we made it in gods we trust, one, it's sort of like the literal definition of we're a melting pot of societies coming together in America. And we believe in different things, but we work together. So in gods we do trust. And some of us don't. But I think even then, that would be like the step further, closer towards a more accurate envisioning of what America is, rather than just being like, in God we trust. Like, which God? What are you talking about? My God. And then there's like 14 different people wearing different hats, all pointing at themselves, thinking like, it's mine. Like, no, it's definitely God's. We're okay. We're religiously tolerant here. Or we can work our way towards there. And of course, the polytheist would be like, exactly, that's me. They're talking about me. And then maybe we can figure something out. God's with a parentheses around the S. Sorry, I'm going too much. Dredd, give me the next joke.
Next joke. Okay, here. What do we got here? Hang on, sorry. Well, you know you're a pastafarian if you've ever worn a colander as a hat in public and called it religious headgear.
Right. How's the quest for chaos going on, by the way, in BC?
Well, I had received word from the ombudsperson that based on a case before the Supreme Court some time ago, which is it's shortened down to MSLM, that the Human Rights Tribunal, ICBC, the Security Division are somehow justified in saying whether or not they'll recognize my religion.
Wow.
And importantly, it actually doesn't. I've gone through the entire case, and I actually wrote a response to the ombudsperson saying, A, it doesn't actually support your position, and B, you are subsuming the authority of the court in making determinations on a person's religiosity, which is well outside your mandate.
Yeah, you're just gift cards for people to drive. Uh-huh. That's
your right. The judge may be able to determine whether or not I'm sincere, but a government agency isn't. That right. is for the court to make a determination of. And so, like I say, these agencies, government-supported agencies, are subsuming the authority of the court in right. making the determination of my case. Yeah.
And the weird thing is, there's regardless of whatever happens, there's a precedent being set. Because if the precedent is, well, we can't let anybody wear a hat based on their religious garb, what's going to happen in the future? Will people wear hats with guns that can shoot people? Assault rifles? Like, are we going to let them through? It's like, okay, I hear what you're saying, but you also are saying, well, we as the status quo precedent say we get to decide who's a real religion and who's not a real religion. And isn't that in its own way particularly just as nefarious based on the likelihood of someone wearing a really terribly clashing hat for their driver's license. It's like, ooh, it's got two different fabrics and it's yellow and green. Ugh, disgusting. Like, he's only asking to wear a hat. I fantasized. I had these weird fantasies in my head where, like, I will be working. And I was thinking about it even just this week, where I was like, wouldn't it be great if, like, the guy who was in Canada was just chill, who was the person responsible for taking driver's license photos, and was just like, that's not a big deal. Take the photo, boom. And then you just move on with the rest of their lives, so that everybody can just move on with the rest of their lives and handle more important things,
right?
Like homelessness, taxes, shelter.
You'd be surprised. Yeah. I just received 696 pages of the FOI request that I made with ICBC, which is almost completely redacted. I don't know why they sent it again, maybe just to rub it in my face, but I've still got the freedom of the Office of the Privacy and Information Commissioner,
right,
on the case. He's reviewing those documents because, like I say, you know, certainly these interoffice memos. And I discovered that ICBC actually communicated with the Ministry for the Security Services, that those two organizations colluded in taking back my security license. So there Wow. you go. These agencies are working hard to thwart my desire to wear this.
To wear a hat.
Imagine the amount of money that these guys are, you know, essentially wasting.
Right.
Just stupid effort. It just boggles my mind. Really. It does.
Yeah. Like I at the end of the day, it's like, you did this and like 14 government agencies are like, we have to stop this at
they're,
all costs.
The
like,
ones doing the
unless
dog
you
fighting,
come to my house right? and pull this off my head, I'm still going to do it. Right. Like what exactly are you doing right now?
Yeah, yeah.
What's this report? How many trees did you kill? How much effort are we taking? Man hours. Invested in this. It's just so silly. Like I said, the fantasy I had was that there was just a chill dude at the top of the driver's license department who was just like, eh, forget about it. And he gets an email being like, did someone take a picture with the parents? Like, who cares? Just move on. He's like, you got to retract the guy. He's like, I will. They write the email, but they don't send it out. And they're just like, I wrote the email. He didn't get it. Oh, well, moving on with the rest of my life. I got other things to do. I got kids to raise. See you later. And then you just go on doing your own peaceful life. And he goes doing his thing. And they go on figuring out whatever else they have to waste time on.
Exactly. Anyway,
that would have been the better. If there's a multiverse out there, that would have been the more efficient one. Just the chill version of the multiverse.
Yes. Yeah.
Larry, I got one for you. Oh, do you have a comment?
No, I was just going to read one of them. This is about a meal. It says, you know you're an atheist if you don't pray before a meal, but you silently thank the farmer. It's pretty close to home in that I always say thanks at dinner. I thank the cook because she prepared the meal and laid it in front of us. So nice. It's time to say thanks. Thank you, honey.
Yeah. I am always thankful for when people tell me, hey, my son got in a car accident or like got a bumper scraper or I was pulling out and my alarm on my car told me that there was like a kid who was coming behind the back of my car or something like that. I'm always like, I make it a point to be aware to give some thanks to the engineers, men and women who sat and figured that out. It's like, man, isn't engineering amazing? Or I'll say like, isn't chemistry cool on like a lot of things? Because a lot of them, a lot of times they'll just be like, my son got in a car accident, but thank God he's okay. And I'm like, but what happened? It's like, oh, well, his car crumpled and it absorbed most of the damage. And then we also lived in an environment where a paramedic came and they shipped him out and we had a pretty good insurance situation. So he doesn't have to worry about paying anything like that. And he's perfectly healthy. We had doctors came by and checked him. It's like, sounds like he had a whole bunch of people working towards, you know, safety. Making sure that the welfare of your child was really good. It's like, yeah, but God. It's like, yeah, but also the people, because God's plan was for your son to get in the accident in my head. And I've had in more explicit terms, it was God's plan to get the accident done. It was people's plan to make sure nothing bad happened to your kid. Right. He's like, oh, okay. What do you think, Dredd?
I was thinking of that Tina Turner song. What's God got to do with it? Got to do with it. What's God got to do with it?
Yeah.
Dredd, you need to sing more often. I love it. Dredd, you want to guess what the next joke?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Well, let's see. you know you're Pastafarian if you've ever tried to convert someone to Pastafarianism with a pamphlet about the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. I don't know if I tried to convert them. I just tried to make them aware. But I have done that. We have a little card. We have a postcard. Yeah, yeah. And
I got one. I still have it.
Yeah, that's right. I sent you guys one. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah.
That's okay. It's not a bad one either. It's also handwritten on the back, which is like always a nice touch, right?
Yeah.
My mom is a Jehovah's Witness and tends to be the case since it's proselytizing such ingrained in being witness that the manuscripts that go out are just printed, you know, at a local FedEx or whatever and just mailed out in mass. And you pull it out and it has a handwritten font, but you can clearly tell it's inkjet. And just like emails, like, why are you guys sending this to me? At least your cards were like, hey, my name's Bob and I live in Nebraska and I love noodles and I want you to join my flying spaghetti church. I was like, oh, this is nice. There was some effort put into this. Who gets handwritten letters anymore? Anyway, that's just my point.
You know what? And I actually, I run the stuff I write down through a pirateness. So you input, you know, English paragraphs or whatever, like.
Oh, you know, okay.
And it translates it into pirate talk. And so I actually take that extra effort,
nice,
do that first, and then it comes out piratey in the way it's said. So
I love it. And I've always said the best kind of pirate is a Pastafarian, because historically they kind of were not nice people, but the best ones are the Pastafarians for sure. Yeah. I'm going to throw this one out. You know you're an atheist if you've ever celebrated a holiday like Christmas or Easter purely for the social aspect. And I don't
celebrate those particular holidays. I celebrate the underlying holiday that has been hijacked by the religion, like the winter solstice or the spring equinox,
right?
You know, which religion has then now claimed as Christmas and Easter. And others.
And you know what's weird is mine is slightly the other version. I celebrate sort of like the social, but also the deeply commercialized version that has hijacked.
right. Yeah.
Because like I at least before I changed a lot with my diet, I used to love when Starburst came out with the Reds only Starburst bags. Because the best flavor of Starburst, everybody knows this, is red. Pink maybe second, but I don't trust those people. But what Starburst will do is every Easter they'll be like Reds only, and you get to have only the red ones, and you're like, oh my gosh, it's blowing my mind. Or it's like some cheap chocolate on Halloween, or like the Starburst candy canes that they come out with during Christmas. There was so many really great junk food that you can only get at certain times of the year. Also, yeah. When I lived in Sweden for a year or some period of time, it's going to be a while, maybe a year and a half. Every Christmas they have pepparkaka, which is sort of like a gingerbread cookie that you can eat. It's the closest thing that I can describe it to is like gingerbread, but it has more of a spicy kick to it. And it only comes out in Christmas, and you will gain 40 pounds just eating that nonstop. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. But yeah, Chris, holiday food is amazing and it's worth its own celebration. Also hanging out with people. But beyond that, I'm not really in it for the religious storytelling, you know?
Right.
Yeah, that's basically
it. Mm-hmm.
Dredd, what do you got?
You know you're a Pastafarian if you've ever argued that the Flying Spaghetti Monster is just as plausible as any other deity. Or deity.
Deity.
I feel like we just did that in this show.
Yeah. Yep.
And it is true. I mean, that the craziest thing is a lot of people assume that Pastafarian is a response to Christianity, but it is not, and is largely on the same level. And people only look at it and laugh at it because they aren't turning around and looking at the religion that they are following on the same pretenses and lack of critical thinking and poor assumptions. They're saying, oh, you only believe that because it's just this silly thing that some guy made up and about something that doesn't actually exist, that there's no scientific proof for, and you're just trying to force other people to believe it just so that you can feel better about yourself and improve your status in life. I'm like, are you listening to the words that are coming out of your mouth and apply any of them to you?
Mm-hmm.
It's not about you, by the way. I'm just doing this for me. Go ahead, Jed.
I think we're gonna canonize Thomas Bayes, right? You know, for the Bayesian approach. We'll update our priors when more evidence comes in, either to prove or disprove the existence of the flying spaghetti monster.
Right.
But we're never closed. We're never doxastically closed.
Right.
And you're open, baby.
It should always be concerning to someone. And I recognize that this shoe has not dropped, but when someone comes up with something that sounds silly and the immediate association that someone comes up with is, oh, they're making fun of my religion.
Right.
Right.
And this is what we were talking about earlier, right?
That should be an immediate red flag that there's maybe something about your religion that's silly in your own right. And instead of attacking and trying to marginalize this group, look at what you're following and try to adjust some of the things on your end. Again, I'm not on the side of there is no God. In fact, I'm not saying you shouldn't be a Christian. I love that there are cool Christians that can get along with atheists. I would love for one Christian to come up with a good reason to why they believe in their God. And I feel like just by virtue of the fact that people aren't doing that or thinking about it or critically assessing it leads to a lot of wasted time because people aren't reaching their full capacity of like thought. They're just basically sitting and waiting to go to heaven, hoping they pick the right God and have the right soul. Larry, what do you think?
Yeah, I just wanted to say one. You know you're an atheist if you ever look around during a moment of prayer to see if there are other people looking around.
Yeah.
Who might be atheists.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing to do now.
Yeah.
It's a frustrating thing that happens because it always happens at a potluck when I bring food. And I'm like, let's pray. I'm like, I brought food too. Why do I have to wait? Why do I have to wait to watch you pray? Do you know the one that was most egregious is when I was helping out at a homeless, or we were feeding the poor, and it was a Christian organization that was largely doing the bulk of the work, but they invited every religion or lack of religion people to come and help out with the lines. And so we're all there. There's a line of hungry, poor people ready to pick up the food. And the pastor's like, okay, now that we're ready, let's stop and pray. And there was like three pastors that showed up to each do their own little prayer. And like the whole time my eyes are open and I'm looking at like the homeless people that are just like, what's going on? And I'm like, okay, I can't. I'm like, what's going on? It's like, okay, now that.
No such thing as a free lunch. You got to pay.
Yeah. Now that Pastor Trevor's prayed, let's bring up Pastor Ethan. Pastor Ethan, guys, I know he just said something, but I'm going to say something now. All right, everyone, bow your head again and pray. I'm like, oh my gosh, it happened three times. It was crazy. Yeah, don't do that. That's really, really bad. Bad look. Dredd,
you know you're a Pastafarian if you've ever celebrated Talk Like a Pirate Day as a holy day.
That's true. That is true. Talk Like a Pirate Day. I remember
September 19th. Yep.
Okay. He may have had one. Okay. That's fair. I do remember last time I'll sneak in a couple of R's. I did that last year. That makes sense. Yes. Yeah. I hope you had a good time. It sounds like you enjoy it more year round though.
Oh, of course. Yeah. But last Talk Like a Pirate Day is when I married that couple as Pastafarians. So,
sure. What if there was a religious day where it's just one day, don't worry about praying, or like even you could even make it like a religious thing and just say, hey, God's got you. Don't worry about it. One day where you don't think about heaven or God or souls or the guilt that comes with being a sinner. Just one day through of a year and just see if anything changes and see if you like that. Yeah. We'll call it the Joe Pesci day, right? Wouldn't that be good? All right. Next one from me. Let's see. Oh, that one's a little dark. You know you're an atheist if you've ever been asked what church do you go to and had to awkwardly explain your lack of faith. Now I don't do it as awkwardly. Now I just be like, I'm an atheist.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, yeah. I've reached the point where I'm tired of like eggshell walking around it.
Right.
I'll just say it and then continue to be a good person. And if that person wants to continue to pay attention, they can. If not, they're not. That's not. But I also won't throw it out for sometimes. For sometimes, I don't throw it out until I know the person. Sometimes people ask what church you go to as like an invitation to go to their church, which is where I'll say I'm an atheist. I actually don't go to church. And sometimes they just start it up as a way to start a conversation. In the South, in Tennessee, or you know what I'm talking about, Larry. That is just as an opener as "How you doing?"
Right.
And in U.S. at least, when someone says "How you doing?", yeah. You could just be like, "Hey, you want to start small talk? So we'll just start small talk."
As soon as you exchange your name, the question will come out.
Right.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not literal. Sometimes it's just like, "How are you?" It's like, yeah. "Oh, I'm fine." It's like, "Oh, what are you from? Germany?" It's like, "No, I you asked me a question." It's like, "It was rhetorical. I just want to talk with you for a bit." Anyway, Dredd, what do you got?
Let's see. You know you're a pastafarian if you've ever had a heated discussion about whether meatballs should be included in the official doctrine.
Oh, now that's good.
I think there's no argument. So, yeah.
What is the argument? What is the argument? What's your position on that?
What's the argument? Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where's the issue? Is whether or not you heat your meatballs, baby. That's the heated discussion.
So there's no anti-protein aspect to pastafarianism, which I feel like that's what gets a bad rap, right? Because there's carbs in a lot of the invocations, but protein isn't as much given. But the pictures show meatballs. So they have to be appreciated to some extent, right? And are there anti-meatballers or none? Or it's like, you can do whatever you want. It's not
there. There are vegan pastafarians.
Of course.
Sure. You know, but with the meatballs, I mean, you're getting in all your food groups. You know, you got the vegetables in your sauce, the carbohydrates in your pasta, the proteins in your meatballs. You know what's missing?
Okay,
and then you get grog on top of that.
The garlic bread.
Garlic bread, yes, yeah. So it covers everything. It covers everything.
Larry, what do you got?
I'm going to change one of them a little bit. It says you might be an atheist if you roll your eyes when somebody says, "I'll pray for you."
I saw what you changed. I sort of take that as a when in Rome sort of situation. Mm-hmm. So like, as long as it's not being done condescendingly,
yeah.
Right. Or
and most of the time it is.
Yeah. But sometimes it's not. And sometimes it's not out of a place of spite. Then I accept that that's just a person genuinely wishing me well. And I'll take bless yous. I pray for yous.
But still, it just means they'll think for you. You know, it doesn't really do anything for you.
Right. So, you know, and sometimes you're in a situation where maybe that the thing that you're facing is just so complicated that that's the only thing they feel like they have any power to say. And it comes out. My mom still says that to me, but she knows I'm an atheist and we're both on good terms on that. But I can understand where it comes from. If I sense some spite behind it, some flack, I always ask myself, why am I talking to this person in the first place? Right. And then two, that person feels like they can try to get one up on me. Now I can play it in my head. Do I want to get back or do I just want to like pretend like it doesn't bother me and just move on so that they're the one person trying to be spiteful using their God as a weapon? Like, doesn't that show more?
Yeah.
Hey, what do you think?
When I talk to people in public, you know, do public debates and talk to them at my atheist table, I hear that a lot, especially at the end of a conversation where they're not doing too well. They'll just throw that out and leave.
Right.
And it is condescending at that point.
Yeah. We would, and you're free to roll your eyes at that point too.
Yeah.
Just move on. Dredd, you've had double duty on this one, but this is the last one, I think, for the show. What do you got?
Okay. You know you're a pastafarian if you've ever quoted the 8 I'd rather you didn't as a moral code to live by.
I love them. Okay. And Would you consider the eight I'd rather you didn't a moral code, or is it like a? I actually find it better than the commandments, but it's more of like guidelines for ethics.
I would say moral guidelines. Yeah, because it's I'd rather you didn't. So it's not an imperative.
Exactly. You're not telling me what to do. You're actually telling me things to avoid as I build a system to determine what to do. And I kind of like that. And it's so better framed. It's so obviously a better framing of how to build a society of just like, hey, stay away from these things, but work and test in the meanwhile, but don't do these things. This just goes nowhere. I'm just saving you some time. Rather than do this, do that. Don't think about me. I'm the best God. I'm the best. Six of these rules are I'm the best God. And the other one's like, don't cheat on your wife. But
well, and the eight I'd rather you didn't. So really is about human well-being. That's what they're about. And respecting other people's well-being. So
yes.
You know, improving the well-being of everybody. That's what the eight I'd rather you didn't is all about, as opposed to, like you say, the commandments, which are, you know, all about God.
And Dredd, you've brought up a number of different philosophers on the show, from what is it, Roman emperors to
Marcus Aurelius,
just comedians, even to just fancy, you know, Bentham all the way to Hobbes. I still find like the eight rather you didn't when you brought them up in the show are just so perfectly commonsensical and well thought out, but. Yeah. Available to anyone from layman to the most philosophical minded person in the world, they are sound. And I just appreciate them, especially when they're framed as I'm not telling you exactly what to do. I'm telling you what to avoid as you continue to work on building a more welfare, a better welfare system for everybody.
Yeah.
And since he says rather you didn't, he gives you the option of avoiding them or not. It's still
exactly.
Up to you.
Yes. Yeah. It's so good. I wish we had God's. That could just interact with us. I wish all gods were on that level. Larry, we're getting ready to close up soon. Dredd Pirate Higgs, where can we find your stuff at?
Well, I'm on YouTube. I live stream this on Sunday mornings at 7 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Or is it standard? I don't know what it is. Pacific something. And that's on Sunday mornings. And that my channel is Mind Pirate, MindPyrate. And nice. I should note that P-Y-R-A-T is the old English spelling of the word pirate. So
no way.
I'm not just trying to be different. I'm just trying to be authentic.
So it's like pyrite the gold, the fake gold.
Yeah, like iron pyrite. Pyrite. But it's pyrite.
Oh, pyrite. Where's the etymology there? You guys can find me on your local disc golf course because I got my shirt on. It's a beautiful day. I'm going to be playing out there right after this. Larry, where can we find you?
My content can be found on my website, digitalfreethought.com. When you go there, be sure to click on the blog button for our radio show archives, atheist songs, and many articles on the subject of atheism. You can find my book, Atheism, What's It All About, on Amazon. And my YouTube channel is at Doubter5. Remember, everybody is going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about it is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Until then, don't sweat it. Enjoy your life. And we'll see you next Wednesday night at 7 o'clock here on WOZO Radio. Awesome. Say bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.